In the early evening outside the Jewish town of Har Bracha, two IDF soldiers were ambushed and attacked by jihadist Muslim terrorists. Somehow, the soldiers managed to escape. Covered in blood, they ran toward a tent filled with people. Little did they know, they were tourists, volunteers, non-Jews who had come to the land to serve Israel. These people never imagined they would encounter the war against the Jewish people so personally. It was the Christian volunteers who saved the lives of these wounded IDF soldiers, a story that changed their lives forever, and a story that is a sign of what the future holds for Israel and the nations of the world. This week on Israel Inspired.
And now, live from Jerusalem, you're listening to Israel Inspired Radio. Here are your hosts, Rabbis Ari Abramowitz and Jeremy Gimpel.
I'm sitting here in a sunny Jerusalem day, just literally hours, if we count one day as 24 hours, hours after a terrorist attack at Har Bracha, where a group of Christian volunteers, from what I understand, literally saved the lives of IDF soldiers. I'm here with Joshua and Caleb Waller from Hayovel Ministries that bring Christian volunteers not just to come to Israel, tour Israel, but in the truest, most sincere way to stand alongside the Jewish people, but not just the Jewish people, the most persecuted Jewish people, the most vilified Jewish people, the Jewish people that are really under the gun from everyone around the world, the settlers. They're coming and they're standing alongside the Jewish people that are living in Judea and Samaria, volunteering, helping the farmers that are now being boycotted by Europe, being labeled by the United States. Like, a remnant of the nations is being called not just to be quote-unquote pro-Israel, but to really take an active role in joining us in this final battle for redemption. And last night, a terrorist attack happened, and I wanted to hear the firsthand account from these guys. Josh, tell me what happened.
So, yeah, we're sitting there, and this is great. This is great, Jeremy, just to be here with you and just talk about it, because this is really, for me, I never thought I would ever see something like this in the Mount of Blessing, and it's good to note as well, this happened just outside the main community there where we're located, and I never thought we'd see it. But the story is that the soldiers were out at the guard post and got jumped. And through a crazy event that happened there, they ran back into our area, and we were really the first responders.
How many people were in the area when they ran back to? Where are they running to?
They're running back to the our main facility there. We had about 30 volunteers there.
What were they doing there, the volunteers?
So we're actually hearing a speaker, and it's actually the whole story is just a miracle, because the speaker that was speaking to us was one of the head medics of the area.
Wow.
He works for Mogen David Adom in the communities. He just happened to be our speaker that night.
Wow. So every night, Hayovel has speakers that come and teach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Most every night. Yeah. Except for 2 days. So 4 days a week, we're hearing from gentlemen from around the community.
So during the day, you all are farming alongside the Jewish farmers. And at nighttime, you're getting this whole educational experience from the Jews in the land.
Yeah.
So IDF soldiers come running into the tent,
yelling, Chatzilu, help, help, help. And of course, it never crossed my mind that a soldier would be coming to me for help.
Right.
Like, I just thought, so when I saw it, we're all trained with the security protocols and things. So I immediately called the security numbers, and boom, within 3 minutes we're there. But our team is really the first responders. We had to take it in our own hands and be like, we immediately, and the medic along with some of our trained guys as well, we assessed the situation quickly. The IDF soldier ran up, he had a knife stuck in his back.
He came into the tent and the knife is still in his back.
Still in his back, exactly. And the other soldier, there's two of them, the other one has massive cuts in his face where he's been hit several times in the head. So really, for the first sight, you don't know. You really don't know if it's fatal. How bad are these soldiers hurt?
Caleb, I have a question. So you're sitting there, you're listening to the speaker, there's 30 volunteers, and all of a sudden you hear Israelis screaming help, and in runs these two soldiers. What do they look like?
We're literally speechless. We are like, for a moment, you freeze. You're like, what do you do, right? Because the first thought you have is, we need to help these guys, but they're obviously running from something. And so my second thought is there terrorists on the way coming to us right now? Like, are they about to bust in the tent right behind these guys? So our immediate action was like, we immediately jumped into gear, evacuated the guys into a secure area. It was just unbelievable. Because these soldiers are covered in blood. Literally, like, it's like you're sitting there and you're having this thought. You're like, here, these guys are protecting us, but now we're protecting them. Like, we're having to stand up for them. So, I mean, our guys, we got our floodlights kicking on. We're, you know, basically checking out the whole area, making sure the terrorists aren't infiltrating into our region. I mean, because, like, literally, Josh said there's 3 minutes there where a lot of things can happen. And so we were I explain it this way. I was talking to the guys afterwards, and I said, what did you feel? Because I went and interviewed each one of the guys and said, play by play, what happened with each one of you guys when these guys came running into our tent? What was your first initial thought? What took place there? And every single one of the guys was like, Caleb, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do, one. But the second guy said, you know, Caleb, it's not a question for me anymore of whether I'm coming back to Israel or not. He said, I have to come back because now I have officially fought for the land. I officially have stood like as a soldier, shoulder to shoulder with these guys to help them come to the land. He said, now I have this new focus in my life. If I've got to defend this nation, and it's literally, I mean, I'm stunned. Like, I've never been more blown away in my life than right now in regards to what God is doing here on the mountains and how we are taking such an active role in fighting for these guys. I mean, like, Josh and I were talking afterwards, and Josh said, you know what? A lot of men, you know, join the army. They go and they see things like this, and it's part of their mission in life, but to, you know, basically bring security and to fight for the land. But little did we know that our battle for the land was going to go to such a physical level.
It's interesting, you know, in the rabbinic tradition, it says that there are three things that are acquired through real hardship and work that don't just come easy. The first is the world to come. That doesn't just come easy. I know that there's other religions that say, well, if you just kind of say 1, 2, 3, this marry, that marry, I don't know what, you got your way in. No, that's going to be a life of building character. That's a life of good deeds. That's a life of a connection and commitment to God. That's going to come through real hard work and sincere internal struggle to really become who you need to be. The second is the Torah. That's not going to come easy. You're going to have to break your teeth, understand the 70 faces, go in and out. And the last one to really acquire is the land of Israel. You cannot really have a relationship with this land without really serving the land. And it's interesting, you know, the word ahava, which means love, comes from the root of the word hav, which means to give. And it's interesting because in this country, you live here, you're constantly forced to give. The taxes are a little bit higher than they are in America. Once a year, you're going into reserve duty, you're leaving your family behind, you're living in this threat of what is Iran going to do? What are the next terrorist attack going to do? You're constantly giving to the land, but then that giving creates the love. It creates a passion that you have. Like, he's like, it's not a matter of if I'm going to come back. Now I felt it. I am coming back. It's a matter of when I'm coming back. And how beautiful it is that there's, you know, one could look at your organization and say, well, they're just kind of a tourist organization. They're bringing Christians on a tourist attraction. But what they're really doing is they're allowing non-Jews that are so far away from the land to acquire a real relationship with this land through serving, through hard work, waking up in the morning, serving the farmers. But then now encountering this, it's like a totally new level. I was just thinking, you know, people come on a trip, they say, well, I saw this side, I saw that side, I walked where Jesus walked, I went to the Kotel, I saw Yad Vashem. What a story these people are going to have when they go back and talk about their trip to Israel. It's right. Like, I overwhelming.
Mean, I was telling the guys, I mean, the terrorists didn't realize that they just equipped 30 men with the most powerful testimony of God's sovereign protection of the land of Israel. Like, you read in the Psalms, it says, unless Hashem builds the house, you know, or unless Hashem guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. And so we're sitting there, and that was the first verse that came to our guys' mind. We're like, God is truly protecting these people here on the mountains of Israel. They're truly protecting this place.
And it was amazing to see, because it's immediately, as soon as it happens, I mean, our Israeli friends are flocking from all over to come and see and make sure that the area is secure. And they started telling us stories, similar stories that had happened in the past. You know, we hadn't seen anything like this in like 13 years up there in our specific area. And these men begin to tell their stories. And every single story that each of them, I mean, these men had lived there for the last 30 years, many of them. Every single story they had immediately brought it back to the point where they didn't put their trust in the horses, and they didn't put their trust in the chariots. They didn't put their trust in all the things that God uses for sure, but they put their trust completely in God. And when there is a breakdown and something falls through, God takes up the slack. Huh. And that's what we saw happen. And it was totally 100% a miracle that we saw. And it, many people would think, wow, you be scared. We weren't scared. This was one of the most empowering moments that we ever saw when it's like God was close. He was there. It was like we were so protected. Yeah. There was not a moment where, can you imagine the most protected place is and we, it may sound kind of a spiritual thing to say, but after you experience that, it's the most protected place to be, right in the center of God's will for where he wants you to be.
Yeah, you know, in this week's Torah portion, we really finish off the book of Exodus, and they talk about the establishment of the tabernacle, and that's sort of how the book ends. And at one point, this verse just jumped out at me this time, that in the daytime, throughout their time in the desert, in the daytime, the tabernacle was covered in a cloud, and at nighttime, the cloud descended and it was consumed by fire. Now, think about their times in the desert. It's like, well, they had moments of like divine intervention, the splitting of the sea, right. You know, Mount Sinai. But then right after Mount Sinai, there was the golden calf. You kind of think like, well, you know, God kind of like today, sometimes you feel very close, but then sometimes you feel a little bit distant. When there is a cloud covering the tabernacle all day long, and at nighttime it's consumed in fire and yet still not being burnt, that changes your perception of the world. That changes your consciousness. That changes your reality as a human being, because you're seeing God manifest so powerfully. And what struck me about that this time is that Israel, in my opinion, because why is that story there in the Torah? It's there for generations.
Right.
Israel today, the state of Israel, is this cloud-covered, fire-consumed tabernacle. Yeah. We shouldn't be here. We're surrounded by over a billion Muslims that want to throw us into the sea. The entire world is starting to boycott us. It doesn't make sense for us to be here for a second. We're a tiny minority surrounded by barbaric, vicious, jihadist warriors. And yet still, Israel continues to thrive. And it's God just showing us one more step. All of the words that I'd mentioned in the Bible, they're manifesting now. God's presence, you know, until the redemption, it says, Bayomahu anochi aster aster panai bayomahu. Until the redemption, God is going to hide his face from Israel. And then we saw, until the state of Israel, man, it was 2,000 years where God just kind of let the world run. And it ended up, well, without God's divine intervention, something like the Holocaust would happen to a weak, tiny, scattered people. But Israel's reformation and rebirth is testimony to the entire world that there is divine protection here. What's so unique, though, is that over 3,000 terror attacks in Israel, there have been only about 30 deaths, which is totally unbelievable. And each story is another miracle. Oh, my goodness, he just had to take one more step. He could have just done one more thing and killed 20 other people. I have yet to hear the miracle manifest with non-Jews and with tourists. And to see now that miracles are now pouring over to these non-Jews who aren't just coming here on a pilgrimage, not just coming on vacation, but that are coming to serve Israel, that are coming to build up the land, that are coming to build the kingdom alongside the Jewish people, that's the strongest testimony that this has nothing to do with the Jews anymore. It's now wide open. You want to stand alongside Israel? You want to attach yourself to Israel? Those miracles will manifest with you as well. You will be brothers and sisters alongside the people of Israel if you choose to sacrifice with the people of Israel alongside them. Acquiring this land demands hardship, demands commitment. That's the rabbis have been saying that for 2,000 years. Now there's an organization that's allowing people to really serve the land, to actually build it up with us. And now, look, miracles are manifesting. To me, it's marvelous.
Yeah, Jeremy, there's one thing that I always wanted to do growing up, and that was to be a part of the story. I wanted to be a part of actually doing something to make a difference. And then when I was brought up in serving in Israel, really, I mean, my dad, you know, he started a lot of the work here, but when I last, you know, when this happened, it hit me that, and one of the gentlemen told a story, and he said, you know, things like this don't have to happen. God could change the story, but he allows it to happen so that his name can be praised in the end of the story. And this is exactly, there's the miracle, the whole miracle of what happened up there, that the soldiers weren't killed, that we were all protected and safe. Like, there's so many miracles, that a medic just happened to be there with us, that the military arrived in 3 minutes, the calls all went through, all of the situations that happened, 100% miracles surrounding the story. God allowed it to happen for a purpose, and now we're able to be these advocates to say, man, we have seen the battle. Man, we're just here for a few weeks, a few months, but we're seeing what the Jewish people are living through. God has allowed us to see it firsthand. Not at the cost of life, thank God. And we're able to go now from this experience and represent it as those that have lived here. Because we've really seen it, like, firsthand of the whole situation. And now we're going through and we're telling the miracle. And it's going to bring glory to God's name. And we're able to be a part of the story. Like, this is the amazing part that, and now, like, many people could look at it and say, you're crazy. What are you doing? And I say, you're crazy. You're living in St. Louis, or you're living in Chicago. A stabbing is so common there. Like, it's ridiculous. But because it's a spiritual war, what's happening here, it's against the Jewish people. It's a totally different level and hits people's brains differently. I know it's crazy, and I don't know why that is, but we want to be a part of this story. And this, because it's such a massive thing, the redemption of Israel, like everything that happens here and all these different situations that we're seeing ourselves a part of, it's totally the redemption.
I'll tell you, I think Jews and Christians together fell into a similar pitfall, similar mistake, that for, you know, destruction of the temple, there was an exile. And then Judaism and Christianity, although they both started very much in the same reality, they sort of went off in their own way, but both of them did something very similar. For 2,000 years, the Jewish people said God can be found in the four cubits of halacha, in the four cubits of the law. We're going to be scattered for a while. The only place that we can really find God is in our own personal lives, in our own relationship with God, in our own integrity with the law, in our own relationships with our own family. It's very individual. For Christians, for the most part, it was very much about their own personal salvation, their own personal relationship with God. What happened was we forgot about the story. And the story is not unfolding in St. Louis, and it's not unfolding in Los Angeles. The story is unfolding in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. And the question now is for everyone that wants to be a part of biblical destiny, how can they be a part of the unfolding of biblical destiny? Caleb, tell me, how do you think people were changed after that experience? I mean, they came here tourists, then they became servants, really serving kingdom, serving Israel, serving even the Jewish people, helping us, like literally alongside us. But this like takes it up to a totally new level. Well, how did it change them?
Really, we're not going to know until these guys really hit the ground and go home and they really begin to process what actually happened here in the land. But I do know that what carries you through life is your testimony. And every single one of these guys has got one of the most powerful testimonies that they've probably yet to experience in their life, to be able to be those first men on the scene, to see these soldiers and then be those first guys that are like, what can we do to help you guys? I mean, these soldiers were looking at us, pleading with help, help us. And our guys were jumping in the cars. One of our guys jumped in the car and drove to the top of the hill to the military base. All the soldiers actually piled into our car, and we drove them back down as the first responders to this event.
Wow.
So it was like we were sitting there like our whole team flew into action. Every man played their part in regards to how we're helping these guys. And so as each one of the guys, I remember I pulled them all into the area where we were waiting, because when these soldiers arrived on the scene, these soldiers had left everything behind, because literally they had been jumped by these terrorists. They were basically fleeing for their lives because they were basically being stabbed. And so our first initial thought was, is there a whole army of people running onto the scene here? What do we need to prepare for?
Are the terrorists coming onto the tent next?
Are they coming onto the tent next? And so each one of these guys had to focus on, where's my strength? Who is protecting us here? Because not many people have the experience to where they think they might be the next one stabbed. Are you really prepared for that? And so as each one of these guys drew that conclusion that God is my protector, and I had to pull them into the room, all of us are looking at each other. That was 3 minutes. We're all looking at each other like, what's happening next? We had the soldiers into the tent. We evacuated most of the guys out into a secure location inside one of the houses where we waited for the security forces to arrive. Literally, the mountain was swarming with 200 soldiers within moments. The IDF responded. Flares are blowing up everywhere. The place turned into like headquarters 101, and we're all standing there like, are we truly witnessing this? Are we truly witnessing the miracle of what God has just saved us from? And so as each one of these guys go home, the question was, how did it change them? It changed them because they came to Israel first thinking that they were just coming to help some farmers prune some grapes and do a good deed. They came because they believe in Israel. They wanted to put an action to it. But now when they go home, they can say, I fought for Israel. I stood side by side with these soldiers. I defended the IDF, and my mission now has totally changed. My whole purpose, my whole vision for my life is now I'm going back. I'm standing for those guys because Israel needs me. God needs me there on the mountains, and I'm coming to stand with these guys.
Well, folks, you know, it's not often that Ari or I would give our kosher seal of approval to a Christian organization because they're Christian. A lot of theological differences, a lot of ideological differences. There's like a lot of these two different religions. But we do have a lot of Christian listeners out there. And if you do want to come to Israel, don't just come on a tour. Find Hayovel at hayovel.com. check them out, because you want to come to Israel to be changed. You want to come to Israel to make an impact. I say this all the time, but at the end of our lives, or at the end of this era of our lives, we're all going to be asked a question. What did you do to build the kingdom? Litaken olam bemalchut Shaddai, to fix the world in the kingdom of God. That's our mission here. And everyone's going to be asked, the kingdom is being built. Jerusalem has never been this big before. Not in the times of David, not in the times of the Maccabees, not in the times of Solomon. Never. There are cranes going up. There are skyscrapers going up. Roads are being paved. The kingdom is being built right now. What did you do to take part in it? Are you just living in St. Louis and praying to God? These folks here are... I think since Hayovel started, I heard a stat that the agriculture in Judea and Samaria, particularly in Samaria, grew 700%. They're literally participating in building up the kingdom. Do you not want to be a part of that? So if you are a Christian listener, check out their website. In the next trip that you go to Israel, don't just come on a vacation to go see the sights. Come and be transformed and partake and participate in standing alongside the pioneers of Israel in Judea and Samaria, and help them help us build up Israel to what it needs to be.
Yeah, I want to say one just quickly, like, so many people are going to look at this story and they're going to say, this, how could you just go into these areas? It sounds totally irresponsible. Like, you're irresponsible with your life, right? And I've thought about that, and I've heard Dad talk about it. We've thrown around that, like, is this irresponsible to come into these areas and be a part of the greatest redemption happening in world history?
I live in those areas.
It's totally not irresponsible. I think people would tell Ezra and Nehemiah, you're being irresponsible. What are you doing? You're going up to Jerusalem to build the walls? You're going up to start rebuilding? Don't you know it's dangerous? They would have told the Maccabees, hey Maccabees, you're totally outnumbered. You're not seeing the full story here. You need to take this into account. You're being irresponsible. You got your families. It's not irresponsible. This is a move of God. That when we see these hardships, it's not an irresponsible move to walk into a righteous place of standing with righteous men and women, and that's the story that we're bringing here. This is not a situation where we're haphazard, just kind of cutting out there saying, "Hey, join us." This is you may get shot at. No, this is a serious deal. We take every security precaution possible. The IDF is on the front lines of security, and there's a reason why the stats you just said were so incredibly low on the deaths here that have sadly occurred in the land of Israel, because the IDF is on their toes and God is protecting this land, and it's a total God thing. So no, it is not an irresponsible thing to come and join the pioneers of Israel in rebuilding the heartland, though it may be a danger. There may be a danger in joining in with this incredible restoration. And yeah, righteous men and women have passed away before through in living their call for, and God, you know, it happened. But we can't live our lives in fear, worrying about what will happen to me. We have to live our lives in complete faith, knowing that God knows every day of our life. We're going to be responsible, and the responsible move is to join in with what God's doing.
And what is the front line of this battle? If it's the battle against jihad, the battle against evil, the battle against secularism, it's really bringing God's presence back in the world. Who are on the front line? Who are the most hated around the world? Who are the most persecuted? Who are being boycotted? It's the settlers of Judea and Samaria.
Yeah.
And a few months ago, I had the schut, the merit, of hosting the Waller family for Shabbat. Now, hosting a family for Shabbat is one thing. Hosting the Waller family for Shabbat is a military operation. It was like 36 people with kids and grandkids and parents. I mean, it was like a whole entire operation. And I remember something that Josh told me that I've told this to like hundreds of people, never on the radio before. And he said, you know what I love about the settlements? There's an entire community in Har Bracha or Neve Daniel, where I live, where this entire town is devoted to God. There's an entire community where the focus of the community, everyone here is keeping the Torah. Everyone here is devoted to God. An entire town. Go to the most righteous of all states in America, in the righteous of all cities in America, in the most righteous suburb of all America. You will not find a town where the entire town is devoted to God.
Nope.
And here we have the settlements, which is interesting because Israel is ranked as one of the happiest countries in the world. With all of the persecution and all the hardships and all the terrorism and all the existential threats of Iran, Israel is one of the happiest countries in the world. When they do internal polls of who are the happiest people inside Israel, always the settlers come out the happiest. Where they're living in the most persecuted place with all the jihad and all this and all the focus on them, they're the happiest of all people. Why? Because they're the ones that are devoted to building the kingdom. And now the opportunity to join a community that's entirely devoted to God, to see people and to work alongside them, in many ways, real Bible-believing non-Jews, people that are really committed to God, have more in common with Bible-believing settlers than they do with their American neighbors that are watching the NFL football games and American Idol and all that other nonsense. And having that encounter, even just witnessing life as a Jewish settler, where you can see an entire community celebrating Shabbat, you see an entire community going to a religious school, you see entire youth movements that are all dedicated to a higher cause, I think that'll transform Christians' perspective on who the Jews are.
Yeah, actually, I mean, vision. It's what I'm hearing. Everything you're saying is vision. What is you? What are you living for? What are you giving your life to? What are you? And trust me, I travel around America extensively, and as I speak to individuals, and as I'm observing these churches or these congregations, and we're living in a generation of visionless people. People have no purpose, no direction, and they're giving their life to some of the stupidest things. Right now, we're facing a political election. It's absolutely ridiculous where our elections have gone to. It's absolutely insane. Even the people that are supposed to be leaders of this country are acting like little tiny kids. Why? Because they have no vision for America. They have no vision for the future. And if we have a vision, as I see here in the nation of Israel, as I see in the communities of Judea and Samaria, these people step up out of their door. They get up out of bed in the morning and they look in the mirror and they say, I am here for a purpose. God has given me a mission for my life. And I tell people this, and as people are listening to this interview, they're going to say, they're asking themselves a question. Am I going to go to Israel or not? Should I go to the land of Israel right now? It could be dangerous over there. Obviously, Hayuvel, look, they just saw this thing happen. If you're afraid, don't come. But if you want to find vision, if you want to find purpose, and you want to find an identity for your life, you want to find something that deep down on the inside, you find this satisfaction in who you are, come to the land of Israel.
I want
to
say something else. You know, a lot of people can live on vision and purpose. I got a lot of secular Jewish friends. They've joined the Peace Corps. Right. They've gone to save the whales, and they found a purpose and a mission, right. And they'll dedicate their life to saving dozens of whales. But what is the Messianic era, really? What is it? Mm. It's God's dream for humanity, and it's all laid out in the Hebrew Bible, what his vision is, what his dreams are for us, what his vision is. The visions of the prophets were God's vision given to man in order that we now know what to direct our lives towards. Living in Israel or connecting yourself to Israel is living a life that is prophetically directed. What does that mean, prophetically directed? You are now connecting to the vision of the prophets, which is the vision of God for how he wants to see humanity unfold, to live as a brotherhood of men under the fatherhood of God. And that's what's so beautiful about this relationship that we have with you guys, that there are a lot of debates that we can have here about all the things that separate us. But brothers don't always have to agree. In fact, it's cooler if we don't agree, because our enemy, if you're not the exact version of Islam that they want, they'll chop your head off. And here we are having very different opinions about real significant issues, and yet still we can stand shoulder to shoulder to fight against the evils of the world and to fight for God's kingdom. It's like such a beautiful testimony of what could be between Jews and Christians when we put God in the center and we put God's vision in the center. And God's vision, like every Jew around the world, when they pray, I feel like Christians sometimes they kind of bow their head. When a Jew prays, they face Jerusalem. If they're in America, they face the East. And if they're in Australia, they face the West. And if they're in Russia, they face South. Our prayers are directed towards Jerusalem. And I think if there's one gift the Jewish people have to give to those that are really seeking a relationship with God, it's to give them that direction. God wants us to be directed towards Israel. This is where it's happening. This is where the story is unfolding. And you now have an opportunity to really be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. As you stand up in whatever country you're from and you sing the national anthem of your country, you know, in America, we stand, we put our hand over our heart, and we sing this song. And as we're singing the song, our national anthem, there's an emotion that comes up inside of you. You may even have a tear that comes to your eye. And as God put that identity in us, God put that emotion within us to have a patriotism for something, to live for something, to die for something. And right now, as I'm standing here in the nation of Israel, as I'm fighting for the mountains of Israel, as I'm fighting to see Jerusalem become a praise in all the earth, I was speaking to my team this morning as we were driving here today. I said, guys, what are we living for? Are we living to see whatever? Are we living to see our football team become the greatest team in the world? Are we living to see every well that's saved out of the ocean, as you were talking about your friends?
Or even just living to make money and make go on vacation?
What are we living for? What are we living for? My friends, I want to make a change in the world. I want to see the miraculous power of God come into the world. And I believe, without a shadow of a doubt, that the opposition that's fighting against the nation of Israel right now, the battle that's raging over the land, is not something that you just kind of go, well, yeah, whatever. There's tons of conflicts going on in the world. No, this is the most unbelievable event that's taking place in history. Why? Because God Almighty is doing it. And why is the enemy fighting so hard against it? Why is he surrounded Israel with all these enemies and all these people and all these things? And I was just sitting just a few minutes ago, and there was a people next to the table with me. They weren't with me. There was a table next to me. They were from an organization that's completely anti-everything we're doing, and they're talking about it. And I was sitting there going, isn't this ironic that I'm sitting here, and yet there's such an opposition against us, and there's so many people fighting against what we're doing in the land of Israel, but yet we're winning. The mountains of Israel are truly coming back to life. The nation is becoming a praise in all the earth. These wines that we're producing out of the mountains of Israel, the olive oil that's becoming out of the land of Israel, the achievements of this country are taking the globe by storm. Right now, we have a choice to make. Are we standing with God or standing against him? If you stand against God, then stay home. Do your own thing. Be what you want to be. If you're standing for God, put an action to your stand. Don't be sitting there just kind of going, well, yeah, I stand for Israel. I do. Of course I do. When you are in a situation to where you have a choice to make between what you got to do and what you don't got to do, if we're always taking the easy route, then what are we achieving in life? There's a quote that one of my Israeli farmers just said to me last night, and I got to say it right. He says,
when the things get tough, the tough get going.
That's right. When the things get tough, the tough get going. And so I want to be in the tough crowd. I don't want to be in the cheesy old laughing crowd that all they're worried about is the latest movie coming out. They're worried about the latest sports team hitting the stage. My friend, there is more important things to talk about. We are in a crisis in America. We're in a crisis across the globe, and we have people that are living for nothing. My friends, I want to live for something, and what I've found in the mountains of Israel is something. And my friends, whenever you're fighting for something good, it doesn't come easy.
Yeah, I want to just end with one more thought. You know, I'm catching you guys right after you visited Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Memorial Museum. And I think about that war quite a bit. At that time, the Jews were defenseless. We were scattered. We were all alone. And, man, we were up against a real fierce enemy. I mean, the Nazis were scary. They were strong, big, educated, organized, methodical. That was they could have won. You know, they're scary. They were second military only to America. I mean, they had all the technology. They had all the will. They had all the desire. They were a scary enemy. And I feel like, you know, Ezekiel had a vision where he saw the ashes of Auschwitz. He said, could it be that these ashes and dry bones would live? God, is it even possible? Look at this devastation. It's God, only you know. And here from that, God would breathe life back into those dry bones and resurrect a dead people back into their land. And now we look at our enemy. And I'm like, man, thank God we're not up against Nazis. Really, we are up against an enemy now that if the IDF were just unshackled, if ISIS can control a swath of land 50 times the size of Israel, if Israel ever wanted to, we could have Euphrates to the Nile in a second. If we ever needed to, we could just crush our enemies in a second, not through miraculous terms, just through Maccabee fighting military. And so the redemption could happen in the blink of an eye. All it takes now is a leader to lead us with a little bit of faith into battle. But we've now eclipsed the hardships. Now there's like a stabbing here, a stabbing there. There's still challenges along the way. The birth pangs are still here. But we are about to see the birth of a new era. And now to see finally coming out of the woodworks, the righteous 10 men of the nations, because it's not going to be all the nations. It's they're going to be a minion of men, a small group of the nations that are pulled out, not just to kind of wave their Israeli flag when they need to, but to literally put their lives where Jewish lives are, to take vacation, to go and work for Israel. That brotherhood is what is paving the way for redemption to come. Guys, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Jeremy.
It's been an honor. Folks, if you want to find out more, hayovel.com. If you're coming to Israel, there is no better educational experience. There's no better emotional experience, spiritual experience. You will be transformed in the best ways possible. Check it out. The Land of Israel Network now has really grown to be a global community of people from all around the world, literally from Australia to Honduras, North America, all over Europe. All of us, Jews, non-Jews, something different is happening now in the world. It's a historic transformation. As the nations are turning against Israel, labeling our products, boycotting, siding with the enemies of Israel, supporting Iran as they continue to declare they want to destroy Israel and wipe us off the map. The nations are turning against us. There are those within those nations that are being called to Israel, that are being pulled and separated away from the nations in which they were born. Something new is happening. And the question for all of our listeners is, what are you doing to take your place in this great story? What's happening in Israel, the ingathering of the exiles, the revival of the Hebrew language, is the greatest story humanity has ever told. It is the climax of human destiny. It is biblical destiny manifest. And what are you doing to take part in this great movement? If you can't come to Israel and you can't volunteer, take this show and share it as far and as wide as you can. In just a few minutes, you can share the truth and beauty of Israel to hundreds, if not thousands of people on your email list, on your Facebook page, on your Twitter. Join us in sharing the truth and beauty of Israel with the world. And if you want to take it a step further, go to thelandofisrael.com, click on the donate button, and help support the work that we're doing. It's our mission to be a light from Israel. This content is free. And if it's changing your life, bringing you joy, and helping you connect to the land of Israel, help us find others like you and spread this message as far as we can, to spread the Torah from Zion and the word of Hashem from Jerusalem. Be a part of our mission. Thank you so much. This is Jeremy Capel signing out from Yerushalayim. Shalom, and we'll see you next week.